there she is. She's not really known as this so much anymore, Susie Sunshine, because, you know, she used to just be on this show, and now she's on every network known to man.
Right, even places that are a little bit bigger than us.
Yes.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like the BBC.
Yeah, like everything that's bigger than us. And so
she has never forgotten her roots.
Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you for attending.
That's what we love.
Yeah. My pleasure. You guys are very kind. Thank you.
You're welcome. But they don't call her Susie Sunshine on the BBC or Bloomberg or CNBC or any of the other places that she's at.
No, that's so special just for you guys.
Yeah, as far as we can tell. All right, I was mentioning this. John Williams was freaking out. I know it'll be a surprise to no one who's a long time listener or viewer of this program. My mother called freaking out today about this. That the market, when the market takes an 800 point dive on a day, that's generally a fairly, you know, big story.
Noticeable.
Yeah. But the yield curve is what it seems to be the thing that precipitated this.
Yeah, so the yield curve prompted all of this today. And
now explain what that is.
Sorry. Well, the Dow was down. Let's talk about the 800 points, because you know I like to talk in terms of percentages, because that's more relevant. So percentages, almost every major index today was down 3%. So that's a big move. And it was precipitated by the yield curve. So the yield curve is where interest rates are. When you think about going to the bank and getting a CD and figuring out, you know, how long do I want to have that CD for? They give you different interest rates to choose from. And normally, the farther you go out, the longer you give the bank your money, the higher the interest rate is. Well, today we saw something that has been moving in this direction, but today it actually happened. We saw an inversion. And so the short-term rates, the two-year, specifically, rate was actually higher than what the 10-year rate was. So you're getting more for short-term investment than you are for long-term. And that tells you that people are getting really nervous about what's going to happen in the economy. And they're flooding into long-term bonds, trying to seek protection, because they're not certain that the economy is going to go up. In fact, they think it might be flat or go down. So we saw that today, an inversion in the yield curve. That's what people are talking about. And when you see that, that can be the front runner to signal a recession.
You saw the president's tweets about crazy inverted yield curve. He, of course, blamed the Fed, calling Fed Chair Powell, calling him clueless and saying that he's been too slow to cut and that kind of thing. But really, what I keep hearing from economists is that this has more to do with the global economy and there's a slowdown.
That's exactly right. And what precipitated the change in the yield curve is that we got data from outside the U.S. And so German GDP slowed. And then we also got just so-so data out of the Chinese economy. So both of those data points made investors a little bit nervous. The bond market said, I don't like this. And people are trying to move to the sidelines. Now, remember that it's August as well, so there aren't as many participants in the market because it's vacation season for a lot of people. So we have a little bit less liquidity, and that tends to exacerbate moves as well. But it's clear that, you know, concern about tariffs, concern about a hard Brexit, what's going on in Germany, which has been propping up most of the European economies, have all come to play here. And I think it's finally trickling through to CEOs and the consumer, and people are just backing off.
So Brexit still sits out there.
Brexit still sits out there. We haven't heard it in the news, but a hard Brexit still sits out there. Probably October 1st, there's some concern as to what is going to happen in October with Brexit. That's still an issue. Today, the focus was on Germany. Germany has been, obviously, a big industrial nation, one of the biggest economies, the biggest economy in the European Union. And that GDP growth turned negative, and that's what scared investors today. They've seen that start to soften, and so month over month, negative 0.1%. Not a huge number, but still not the direction that investors want.
But if you look at some of the positives in the economy right now, we keep talking about jobs and wages have been ticking up slightly. And then you also have consumer spending has been strong. Is that not fair to say?
That's very true. And that's actually one of the focal points for the next couple of days. So the consumer, 70% of GDP in the economy in the U.S. is because of the U.S. consumer. So the U.S. consumer is very important. And we're going to be seeing retail sales, and those general retail sales come out tomorrow. Macy's reported today, probably didn't help the situation that Macy's didn't have a good quarter. So Macy's stock was down. They had lower sales than expected. the market wasn't happy with that. We're waiting for the general retail sales number to come out tomorrow, and then the Michigan Consumer Confidence Index is going to be released on Friday. The market's going to be paying a lot of attention to those two numbers because it, representing 70% of the economy, the consumer has been feeling good, and that's what's kept things going. They've had, you know, they feel like they've got money in their pocket, gas prices have stayed low, average hourly earnings have crept up, unemployment's very low. They're in a good situation. But globally, there are reasons to be concerned.
Okay, so you have, but if that, and I know that's all true, but why, what explains the fact that the gross domestic product is softening over this year? If the economy is, if consumer confidence and consumerism and consumer consumption is up,
spending,
thank you, is up, where is the slowing in the U.S. economy?
Well, in the U.S. economy, we're still seeing good positive GDP growth. So the U.S. economy so far has done fairly well. We saw good growth in the first quarter. In the second quarter, remember that there was some pull forward as well because people were concerned about tariffs, what might happen with imports, exports, the prices of their raw materials. So we saw perhaps a shift. What we are seeing now is a general hesitation to spend on the part of corporations as they're trying to figure out what happens in the global trade scenario.
What, you know, Ro pointed out something earlier, and I want to get your take on this, Susan. If this is just sort of an intraday, one-day thing, and the yield curve changes, does that indicate as much as we think today? Could this be sort of an overreaction, or do you really start looking at this as you're kind of pointing data on a trend line at this point?
Right. Well, we've talked about an inverted yield curve, but more between the three-year and the one-year. The difference that people really look at is the 10-year and the 2-year, and that's what inverted this morning. Now, when we got to the end of the day today, that they were both the same rate. So the inversion had flattened out, and it was basically flat. People still don't like a flat yield curve because it means that there's some hesitation about what's going to happen further out on the time frame for the economy, but it can be that you do have an inversion, and it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a recession. So it can be that we have a change in interest rates, and this is in some ways a signal to the Fed that there's concern about the economy. What can the Fed do in terms of changing interest rates and dropping them to help support the economy and bring confidence back?
But, and I want to, so let's just explain that. So if for a 2-year, you should be getting a better interest rate, more money on a 10-year bond than you're getting on a 2-year bond, right?
Right.
That's the idea, is you're giving the money up for 10 years.
Right.
It's incentivizing you by saying, hey, the bond holders think, hey, listen, the bond letters, I should say, the people, you know, that are selling you the bond, they're like, hey, listen, we'll make this up. You know, we're going to make that 3% up or 5%, you know, whatever you're going to get
on
your bond.
We're going to take your money for a little bit longer. We need to make it worth your while. We're going to give you a little bit more.
Because we're confident that we can do that. We're confident that we'll make that work. That the when it's lower, when it's equal to what people think they're going to do in 2 years, then that is alarming. Like, we don't know if we're going to make that up. So that's that's an important part. That's sort of just a way of explaining the difference here to people who don't play in these waters.
And it's, remember that when everybody wants to buy something, the price goes up. So what we're seeing is a lot of people are saying, I'm not really sure how the economy looks 10 years from now, and I don't know about that, but I feel like a good safe place to put it is into bonds. And when you push up the price of bonds, that also brings the interest rate down. So what you're getting is, you're getting that sentiment change where people are expressing hesitation and concern for the outlook on the economy.
All right. I want to go back. I hate to go back to this dead horse because we just went past this, but I don't think I fully understood what was going on. The velocity of the gross domestic product has slowed, right? And from year to year here, it's still up, but it's not growing as quickly as it had been growing. That's what I was trying to get to. Is there a reason for that?
Well, it's natural for the progression of growth in the GDP to taper off as you come out of a recession. So remember that we're many years into this recovery. It's not unusual to see that growth slow. But what is concerning is ultimately the growth has to plateau and turn negative. And when we talk about when is this recovery finally over, when do things turn, that's what people are talking about. They're looking to that GDP number to be a sign for them of when things have actually slowed. So what we're doing is seeing that growth slow now. People are worried that the growth is flattening, or with continued concern about trade and internationally, then people will pull back on the spending, not just at the corporate level, but at the consumer level as well. And that will cause a slowdown in the economy.
Are there any other tripwires in a potential recession here that are similar to the structures that put us into the Great Recession in the mid-2000s? Is there, like, you know, people who, you know, watch the movies about all that from you have to figure out exactly what happened in the Great Recession, where you had the, you know, we were basically betting on houses of cards, literally, and then those houses of cards came down. You were betting on another guy's bet about a bet, essentially, is what the market started allowing us to do.
The Big Short.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the Big Short, they said, you know, none of these rules have really changed. Are we concerned that we're setting ourselves up again?
Yes, now those rules have changed, and banks have gotten much more cautious about what they're doing, and we also aren't allowing those kind of bets to be made. So the market structure has changed. We aren't going to be repeating the same problem that we had in the mid-2000s, and we don't see that kind of leverage out there that we risk taking things down. What's interesting about this is, you know, in the mid-2000s, one of the problems was we saw credit start to collapse, that people had overextended. You know, they bought three houses and were trying to flip them, and everybody had done that, so there was just too much supply, and suddenly everything fell apart. What we have now is actually a consumer that's in pretty good shape, and we've talked about, you know, low unemployment, you know, good wages. We feel like there's a moderate growth in average hourly earnings, so things have been looking okay. We won't have the same problems that we had in the mid-2000s, but we could very well have a slowdown in the economy just because that's the natural progression of growth.
Former Fed Reserve Chair Janet Yellen weighed in today saying she does not think this inverted yield curve is a sign of a recession on the horizon. She says there are other factors that are kind of weighing down on the long-term bond issues, and she pointed to international, I guess, investment. But
there are, and remember, we talked about Germany and China. Remember that there are plenty of international investors who still think U.S. Treasuries are the best place to be. So they want to be in U.S. Treasuries, U.S. bonds, and that's a lot of the money that's flowing in, seeking a flight to safety and a flight to quality, buying our U.S. government instruments.
And wouldn't that be good for the U.S. if all this money in less secure global economic environments come to the U.S.?
It is good for the U.S. because it keeps interest rates low, and it's here for a positive reason. The market is a little bit flighty and is looking at this saying, well, wait a minute, if growth is slowing in Germany and we have problems with China, does that translate? And that has yet to be seen. So again, we still see some strength in the U.S. consumer. Things are good here, but the markets are getting nervous about what's happening internationally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm nervous about everything internationally and domestically. So don't worry. It's all good.
It's your permanent state, Ro. We've come to accept that.
Thank you. Susan Schmidt of Viva Investors. Thank you for your help.
Thanks,
guys.
All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon, WGN News. What's going on?
And as you were talking about a big sell-off on Wall Street today, the Dow suffers its worst day of 2019.